Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 4. Vidura approaches Maitreya. Text 28. Rajovacha.
Rajovacha.
Nidhanam upagateshu vishni bodheshu. Adirata yutapa. Yutapeshu mukya. Satukatam avashista uddhavoyad. Dirirapi tachaja akritim triadisha. Raja uvacha. The king inquired. Nidhanam, destruction. Upakateshu, having overtaken. Vrishni, of the Vrishni dynasty. Bhojeshu, the Bhoja dynasty. Adirata, great commander. Yutapa, commander in chief. Yutapeshu, amongst them. Mukya, prominent. Sa, he. Two, only. Katam, how. Avashishta, remained. Uddhava, Uddhava. Yat, whereas. Hari, the personality of Godhead. Api, also. Tatjade, finished. Akritim, complete pastimes. Tri Adisha, the Lord of the Three Worlds. Translation. The king inquired, at the end of the pastimes of the Lord of the Three Worlds, Sri Krishna, and after the disappearance of the members of the Vrishni and Bhoja dynasties, who were the best of the great commanders, why did Uddhava alone remain? Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Nidhanam means the transcendental abode of the Lord. Nid means the highest, and Dhanam means opulence. And because the abode of the Lord is the highest manifestation of transcendental opulence, his abode can therefore be called Nidhana. Apart from the grammatical elucidation, the real purpose of the word Nidhanam is to indicate that all the members of the Vrishni and Bhoja dynasties were direct associates of the Lord. And after the end of his pastimes, all the associates were dispatched to their respective positions in the transcendental abode. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elucidates the meaning of akritim as pastimes. Ah means complete, and kritim means transcendental pastimes. Since the Lord is identical with his transcendental body, there is no question of his changing or quitting his body. To act in accordance with the rules and customs of the material world, the Lord seems to take his birth or leave his body. But the pure devotees of the Lord know well the actual fact. It is necessary, therefore, for the serious students of Srimad Bhagavatam to follow the notes and comments of the great acharyas like Jiva Goswami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti. To others who are not devotees of the Lord, the comments and explanations of such acharyas may appear to be grammatical jugglery, but to the students who are in line Vishnu is also significant. All the members of the Vishnu and Bhoja directly reach the abode of the Lord. Other devotees do not reach the abode of the Lord directly, but the pure associates of the Lord have no attraction for the opulence of any planets of the material world. Sometimes, due to inquisitiveness, devotees who are to be promoted to the abode of the Lord have some attraction for the opulence of the higher material planets above the earth, and thus they desire to see them while going up to the perfection. But the Vrishnis and Bhojas were directly dispatched because they had no attraction for material planets. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also suggests that according to the Amarakosha dictionary, Akriti also means signal. Lord Krishna ordered Uddhava by signal to go to Bhairikastra after his departure, and Uddhava, as a pure devotee of the Lord, carried out the order more faithfully than going back to Godhead or the abode of the Lord. That was the cause of his remaining alone, even after the departure of the Lord from the face of the earth. Om Gyananjanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The subject of Krishna's leaving the ordinary vision of this world and his removal of the Yadu dynasty is scattered throughout the Bhagavatam, third canto, as well as the 11th canto. Why did Krishna do it, is the question. Let's look at the situation from Krishna's point of view, as we are given it in the Shastra. When Krishna was about to depart from the vision of this world, he met with Uddhava and explained to Uddhava that he's 125 years old. Now, how can the Supreme Personality of Godhead have an age? As Lord Brahma explains, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamam Majami. Krishna's the original person. He is beyond time. Time is his insignificant energy. So, why is Krishna explaining to Uddhava, I've been in this world 125 years? What he's meaning is not that there's any question of material age or aging, it's just that it's time for him to bring his visible pastimes in this world to a close. It's Krishna's personal discretion. Enough. I'm moving on from the ordinary vision. Because even that ordinary vision, although everyone had it, they couldn't understand it. When Krishna was present on this earth in such a way that everyone could see with their physical eyes, very few understood who he was. They thought that he's the most powerful human on the planet. Or some thought he's a demigod. Fewer still thought he's the super soul. But very few understood that he's Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of God. So this shows you that seeing is not believing. Our present culture puts so much emphasis on seeing. You've got to see it, and then you'll know it's real. But Vedic culture puts the emphasis on hearing. You've got to hear, and then you'll understand. So the question is always there, how do you gain experience by hearing? The Kali Yuga standard of gaining experience is by employing your gross senses, especially tactile sense. If you kick a rock, feel the rock, stub your toe, you know the rock is real. Or if you just grab someone by the arm, yes, I know you're here in this world. our senses have become so tactile dominated, as well as visually dominated. It's all about seeing, it's all about touching. But why can you not perceive reality by hearing? That's the Vedic message. The Shabda, the transcendental sound, imparts to you experience. But because of our Kali Yuga biases, we don't take that so seriously. Just like when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are associating with Krishna through sound. But we're thinking, when will I see Krishna? Similarly, you associate with a sentient person through the ears, the sound vibration, the instructions. Even when Krishna was physically present, few understood who he actually is. And so now he's indicating to Uddhava, the time for my pastimes that are visible to everyone is finished. Of course, is prakata lila and uppercata lila, the manifest and unmanifest pastimes. Krishna is never gone, and we are never separated from Krishna. We're just undergoing a nightmare in which we feel disconnected from Krishna, or we don't care about Krishna. This is all an artificial situation induced by the illusory energy. Actually, it's impossible to get away from Krishna. Separation from Krishna is 100% impossible. But Maya does the appearance of the impossible. And you're on your own to struggle in Triguna Maya. You're on your own to struggle in material existence, when actually it's impossible to get away from Krishna. Even when you want to forget about Krishna, you can't do it on your own. You're so helpless, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya cha hridi sannivishto matasmritir gyanam apomja. I'm situated in everyone's heart. From me comes all knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. That means if you want to forget Krishna, so dependent on you, so dependent are you, that you need Krishna's help to forget him. What to speak of his help to remember him. Yet we think we're so competent and self-sufficient. And of course, the mundane world gives credit to persons who are giving the impression of self-reliancy and not depending on anyone. But actually, in Kali Yuga, people are more dependent than ever. They're dependent on their mind and senses. They're dependent on others' mind and senses. They're dependent so much on their external arrangements. Yet, they present themselves as being autonomous. Why is Uddhava left behind when Krishna is sending everyone else away? Not only is Krishna going to disappear from the ordinary vision, but the entire Yadu dynasty. Simultaneously, Krishna bewilders the non-devotees and satisfies his devotees. There's no question of the Yadus being separated from Krishna. They go back to their posts, so to speak, in the spiritual world. The ones that are demigods go back to their posts in the heavenly planets. So the whole disappearance of the Yadu dynasty, as well as Krishna's disappearance itself, is all staged. It's Krishna's way of exiting material vision. It's the way of the Yadu dynasty for exiting material vision. At the same time, it bewilders those who are supposed to be bewildered. Just see, Krishna's an ordinary person. He was sitting under a tree in lotus position, and then a hunter fired an arrow, pierced his heel, and he died. And that way, Krishna bewilders the atheist, and his pastimes go on eternally. When you think about the departure of the Yadu dynasty, killing each other, killing one another in a drunken brawl, the devotees immediately think, what is the use of this material world? Even a dynasty as extraordinary, inconceivably powerful as the Yadus, they have to leave this world. So what to speak of us? In other words, why should we put so much effort into making stability and permanence in such a world in which the Yadus departed as they did? So this is the main reason why Krishna pulled out the Yadus in such a dramatic way. He, as Jiva Goswami explains in the 11th canto, Krishna was diminishing the prestige of the material world. Just like, for example, what's that holiday spot in Thailand, Phuket? Yes. Yes. So, the average person would love to go holiday in Phuket. But when, after the tsunami, well, I don't know. The attractiveness of the place went down for a while until, you know, everyone forgot about it. So similarly, Krishna pulls the Yadu dynasty in such a dramatic way so that you think, I don't know about this world. I don't know if I want to stick around here. If this happens to the Yadus, what about me? Similarly, you'll see in the departure of great devotees of the Lord, it seems like their departure is so much suffering, and you're thinking, this person served Krishna all his life or most of his life, and then to suffer from such a terminal illness. But that is Krishna's way of showing that this world is not your home. Don't try to make a permanent situation here. Or don't even try to think you're going to get lasting or sustained fulfillment here. Look what happens. Of course, the internal reality of the devotee is something else. The Yadus were not materially suffering from annihilating each other in a drunken brawl. It was a brilliant drama, though. You couldn't think of anything better. How to pull an entire dynasty off, off the planet. Jiva Goswami explains that also the Krishna had a concern that these Yadus are so powerful, they cannot tolerate separation from me. So what will happen after my departure, in the agony of separation, they'll trample the whole planet. That's how powerful they are. So better pull them. It's hard for us to understand these pastimes unless we are detached from the material world. Otherwise, we'll question, why must people die? Why must material arrangements be temporary? Why must material relationships, in other words, relations based on the body, why must they be temporary? So hearing Krishna's pastimes requires some detachment from the material world. Hearing the activities of devotees requires some detachment. Otherwise, you'll get caught up in the material aspect of the drama. This devotee died in such a way. Is that a good death for someone who spent 40 years serving Krishna? Is that a good death? How do you know what is like from the inside, what Krishna is doing? But we're so accustomed to being externalists, looking at things from the outside. This is a good death. That's a bad death. This death happened too quickly. that death happened too slowly. What is it, from the material point of view, what is a good death? Similarly, the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. It seems horrible from the material point of view. But these things are all going on for Krishna's pleasure. He wants his personal associates to be with him and no longer available to the ordinary vision of this world. Uddhava, however, didn't go. What is Uddhava's stature? The Bhagavatam explains how Krishna himself says, Uddhava is non-different from me. He's like my very self. He's the one that Krishna sent to Vrindavan to deliver the message to the gopis. A most confidential mission. Krishna selected Uddhava for very special reasons. First of all, due to Uddhava's spiritual stature, Krishna wanted that he goes and learns about the confidential truths of Krishna Prema from the greatest devotees. As Lord Chaitanya certifies, Ramya Kachchit Upasana Vajavadu Vagena Yakalpita. There are no better devotees in loving Krishna than the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan, Vajavadu. So, this is Krishna's favor on Uddhava. Go learn the secrets of prema. But then Krishna also had another angle. He wanted that the residents of Dwarka know that their love was far surpassed by the rich bossies. But Krishna knew they'll never believe it unless they hear it from someone like Uddhava. So, by his dispatching Uddhava to Vrindavan, Uddhava got the greatest favor. He could learn from the gopis about confidential love of Krishna. And then he could go back and explain how the love of Vrindavan cannot be matched by anyone, anywhere. What's another instance in which Krishna relied on Uddhava's integrity? When it was time to visit Kubja, very special character. Krishna promised her amidst the cowherd boys in the middle of the street in Mathura. He promised, I will visit you. Remember, she invited Krishna. Please, please come with me. She was even grabbing at Krishna's cloth in the middle of the street in the presence of his cowherd boyfriends. Kind of embarrassing Krishna a bit. Of course, this is all Leela. This is all bad time. Come with me. She felt gratitude at having been straightened out as a hunchback and turned into a most beautiful young lady. And Krishna is the most beautiful young boy. So, why not? She became overwhelmed in her innocence and she just started pulling at his cloth. Come with me, come to my house. And how did Krishna respond? Very tactfully. He showed care for her as well as detachment from her. He spoke to her while looking at his cowherd boyfriends, indicating detachment. Certainly you are a suitable girlfriend for young boys like us who are away from home. But he wasn't looking at her when he said I will certainly come to your house, but not now. So at the right time, Krishna decided to visit his devotees. But Kubja's house, it was full of allurements. She was a society girl, a wealthy society girl, who knew how to host celebrities. And Krishna knew that. But Krishna thought, my reputation will not suffer if when I visit Kupcha's house, I bring Uddhava. Because everyone knows Uddhava is so upstanding. So if I bring him when I visit Kupcha, then everyone will be fine. They won't talk. So Krishna knows how to package things in his leelas. Sometimes he totally disregards mundane conventions. And sometimes, especially outside of Vrindavan, he's concerned about ordinary social conventions. Not in Vrindavan, though, as you know. What he does in the nighttime in the forest of Vrindavan seems to violate ordinary social conventions. But then you have to remember that there's no material arrangement in Vrindavan. And everyone is Krishna's part and parcel. Krishna is the only male. Everyone is female. But outside Vrindavan, Krishna does uphold Dharma in the ordinary sense. So he took Uddhava to Kupcha's house. And it was just very good that he did that. Now that same Uddhava has been sent to Vrindavan. And then he came back and explained the glories of prema. And again, he's got another mission. Go to Bhadarikashrama and deliver confidential knowledge to the devotees there, as well as to the Narayan Jiji. The Acharyas explain that in some appearances, Krishna does go to Bhadarikashrama, but not this one. Krishna felt that 125 years of being present to the physical vision of the world, that's enough. I'll send Uddhava to Bhadarikashrama. Because my devotees there need to hear confidential knowledge, and Uddhava is qualified to give them that knowledge. How Uddhava took that order is so noteworthy. As Prabhupada writes at the end of the purport here, Uddhava, as a pure devotee of the Lord, carried out the order more faithfully than going back to Godhead or the abode of the Lord. Uddhava is showing how to take instruction, how to be an ideal disciple. The most important ingredient in a real disciple's life is the order of the spiritual master. That's more important than going back to Godhead. Because one who takes that order so seriously is actually already back to Godhead. This is the mystery of Guru Vani, the instruction of the Guru. As Srila Prabhupada explains in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, you see Krishna through the instructions of the Guru. And he quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who instructed, stop trying to see Krishna in the kunja, in the groves of Vrindavan, while you're engaging in sense gratification. Just follow the order of your spiritual master. The active ingredient, the linchpin of spiritual development. So in that way, we use the parampara as our eyeglass to see Krishna. We're not trying to see Krishna directly. We're seeing through parampara. The parampara is the technology for how to see. With pride, we could say, well, I've got my own senses. I can see. I've got my own intelligence. I can think. This is why Krishna is so baffling. If we don't see Krishna through parampara, we'll never understand his leelas, whether it's rasa leela or the moksha leela, the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. They'll all be so bewildering. That's why even in India today, you see so much bewilderment about who is Krishna. So much confusion. Oh, he's the Hindu forest love god. We know Krishna. or he's immoral. He did this in the battle of Kurukshetra. He did that in Vrindavan. So much confusion. Because they're not approaching Krishna through parampara. And especially as part of that parampara for approaching Krishna, they're not going through Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, it's practically impossible to have a clear vision of who Krishna is and a clear vision of his pastimes in Kali Yuga. You can't see clearly in Kali Yuga without Shikshikor Nutai. We spoke before about how a devotee eager to hear about Vedic mysticisms and Vedic spacecraft and all the lost devices and mystical technologies of the Vedic age. He was very eager to hear about it. He had read about it before he was a devotee. And so now, seated before Prabhupada, he had his chance. Prabhupada, can you please tell me about Vedic technology? And Srila Prabhupada's answer was, Vedic technology means parampara. And we need to think about that. How is it that the parampara is a technological device, a spiritual technological device for seeing properly? In furthering that technological device, Krishna is sending Uddhava to Bhadrakashrama. Uddhava is not different from Krishna due to his total alignment with Krishna's desires and Krishna's instructions. And now he's being sent to Bhadrakashrama. Transcendentally, it is a very painful departure. Uddhava knows that Krishna is about to depart. Krishna warned him, don't be around Dwarka right now. He warned him in advance. What's going to happen is unprecedented. It'll devastate the ordinary mind and intelligence, this annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Don't be around. So Uddhava was tipped off, not only about Krishna's impending departure, but also about the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty in some extraordinary way. After receiving instruction from Krishna, which you have in the 11th canto, the famous Uddhava Gita, it was time for Uddhava to go. As described in the 11th canto, it was very heart-wrenching. Krishna extended his feet, and Uddhava grabbed his feet and drenched them with his tears. We've never done that for anyone in the material world. Grab their feet and drench them with tears. And then Uddhava circumambulated Krishna and took Krishna's shoes and put them on his head and then departed, focusing on his mission given to him directly by Krishna. How did Uddhava do it? What was he experiencing? The Bhagavatam explains that he's absorbed in a double perception of separation from Krishna simultaneous with meeting Krishna. The experience of being with Krishna coexists with the feeling of separation from Krishna. It's all going on simultaneously. This, in the conditioned state, how do we understand it? We think either you're with a person or you're not with a person. But how is it that simultaneously you can be with a person and be separated from a person? When we start to get a glimpse of this reality, then we can get a glimpse into Vrindavan. and understand why Rupa Goswami says the Krishna who left Vrindavan is Yadu Kumar Krishna. The original Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, never takes a step out of Vrindavan. So then you say, well, what happened then? All this drama about Akura coming to get Krishna and taking Krishna to Mathura, Krishna promising to return, the residents of Vrindavan practically dying in separation. What's happening here? How can you say that Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan? He's present there in the loving desperation of his devotees. He's actually more present there that way than any other way. The presence brought about by the love of the Brijvasis. So this is the greatest mystery in bhakti. How there is simultaneous meeting and separation. And Uddhava is absorbed in that now on his way to Bhadarak Ashram to speak confidential knowledge to the devotees there. This shows how caring Krishna is. And similarly, Krishna has made arrangements for us. Do we understand how confidential the knowledge is that we're getting, that we take as an everyday occurrence? Oh, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam class. Yes, I read the books. Yes, sometimes. And japa time. We're so stone-headed and dull, we don't understand that we have received a most confidential status and situation. So you may consider Uddhava is going to Bhadarak Ashrama, personally deputed by Krishna. He's so fortunate, and the residents of Bhadarak Ashrama are so fortunate, but we are just living in our ordinary way. Look at the resources that we have available. We have, through the parampara, an approach to confidential love of Krishna, which is progressively, gradually achieved, step by step. All that's available to us as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda. Uddhava is discussing with Maitreya. Remember when with Vidura rather. When Uddhava was discussing with Krishna before Krishna's leaving the vision of this world, Maitreya was also there. But Uddhava got more direct attention from Krishna because Uddhava is an unalloyed devotee. Whereas Maitreya Muni, at that time, still had some admixture of jnana in him. But by his transcendental good fortune, he was allowed to be there when Krishna was conversing with Uddhava. We don't know all the extraordinary fortune that living entities get by being around when we serve Krishna. We, again, take it for granted. We see in a dull way. We don't realize how these persons who just happen to be around and do some supportive gesture while you're serving Krishna, they are receiving the greatest fortune in all existence. I remember the Minister of Cultural Affairs and Multicultural Affairs and Planning when he was here making the address, and he had his entourage with him, and he had no idea of the fortune that will come to him for instrument, not a main instrument, it wasn't his money, but just by his standing before the deities, being in the association of Vaishnavas, taking prasad. But his mind's focused on the election. Meanwhile, he is getting the most inconceivable wealth. In his mind, he's making good politics, and he also, he likes devotees, he said he likes it, here's something special here, but he has no idea of the full impact. So he's doing good politics, and yeah, they're good people, yeah, the Haris, yeah. No idea what is in store for him. Somehow or other, he was in the right place at the right time to be a little instrument in doing some service. Wasn't even his money. But he gets to see the deities. He gets to take prasad with devotees. So he gets the credit for doing the service. By constantly hearing Bhagavatam, you develop a vision to see all these extraordinary events happen. That's the exciting, one exciting part of bhakti. You start to be able to see a little bit of what's actually going on. You go from the status of being an ordinary religious believer. I believe in Krishna. My grandmother, she also. You go from that status to actually having transcendental experience. You start to see a little bit of what's going on. Let's speak more about Uddhava and the way he took up the mission Krishna gave him. That is the idea we want to follow in our devotional service. My service, whatever I can do according to my capacity, my style, in terms of the ashram I'm in. Still, whatever style or capacity, my service, that is my ticket back to Godhead. I take it so seriously. I take it more seriously than even going back to Godhead, because actually there's no way back to Godhead except through my devotional service. This is what Uddhava is demonstrating. See, retaining Krishna's association, even though Krishna has physically departed, retaining that association by executing the order of the Lord. And by acting in that way, all the mysteries of bhakti become revealed. And we have a chance for that. Of course, we are nothing compared to the stature of Uddhava. Uddhava's Nitya Siddha, but while he's in this world, he also has a sadhana siddha aspect to him. In relation to the Vasus. Just like so many of Krishna's associates in Dwarka, they were demigods combined with eternal associates of Krishna. So when the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty happened, the demigod portion separated out, like from Samba and others, and went back to the heavenly planet. Whereas the personal associates of Krishna remained in his lila. As Krishna goes from universe to universe. Another interesting point, when Uddhava found Krishna, what was Krishna doing? He was seated in lotus position with his back to a small banyan tree. Usually, saintly persons take shelter of a tree for shade, for leaves to eat, for bark to wear. So why is the supreme shelter sitting with his back to a tree as if he needs shelter? Again, this is Krishna's pastime. He's the shelter, the ashraya of everything. Those who actually see know that all of material nature takes shelter of Krishna. Yet he seems to be taking shelter of a tree. Similarly, he will seem to be shot with an arrow by a hunter and die. It's all a drama stage. So Uddhava noted all that. Krishna seated with his back to a tree. And furthermore, that particular banyan tree is very small. This is Krishna letting us know that this particular universe is very small. As you know in Bhagavad Gita, the material universe is compared to a banyan tree. So Uddhava was able to understand all this with the eyes of knowledge. Seeing is not believing. He had the knowledge, and therefore he could actually perceive what was going on. So let us resolve to take our devotional service more seriously so that we can become qualified to see more of what's actually going on. It can't be done materially. It can't be done if we simply approach bhakti in a ritualistic way. Although, even if you approach bhakti in a wooden-headed way, just blindly executing rituals, you'll still benefit. But how much more will your benefit be if you seek to become qualified to perceive what's really going on? That's how love develops. You want to understand someone who is so attractive. And so you think of the ways that you can do that. So as we advance in bhakti, we become overwhelmed with the desire to understand Krishna's mystique. Like mundaners talk about what the feminine mystique could understand it. The ladies talk about the masculine mystique men can never understand. The mystique that we want to become entranced by is Krishna's mystique. That's why Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatva. If you can understand my mystique, much more important than the feminine or masculine mystique. In fact, Krishna is the only male. He's Purusha. Everyone else is Prakriti. If you can understand the mystery of my Janma, my appearance in this world, and my karma, my activities, which are not forced like ordinary karmic endeavors. If you can understand all that mystique and know it in truth, then upon giving up the present body, you won't take another material body. Mamati, you'll come to me. And eventually, Uddhava, after discharging his mission in Bhadrakashrama, just as Krishna wanted, he left this world. Because he's never separated from Krishna. So we have to learn how to see with that double vision. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in his last 12 years in Jagannath Puri, acutely was feeling separation from Krishna in the most incomparable way. He would see a sand dune and think it's Govardhan Hill. He would walk on the beach of Jagannath Puri and see a garden and think it's Vrindavan. Is he mistaken? From the mundane point of view, yes. But what about the statement even mundane people make? Love is blind. Love blinds you. You can't really see what's going on. Well, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see the real extent of that statement. Love is blind. His love for Krishna is so much that he's seeing Vrindavan everywhere, factually. In other words, love is the actual defining principle. Because the devotee's love for Krishna is so intense, that devotee sees differently than others. And what such a devotee sees in love is the actual reality. And what we think we're seeing, as we consider ourselves separate from Krishna, and everything else to be separate from Krishna, that's illusion. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita introduces you to this apparently topsy-turvy world in which love of Krishna is the defining vision and the defining reality. And that way we become humble. We think, oh, we are very expert, we're very pragmatic, how to deal with the world. And then we also go to the temple, we put something in the hundi, we bow down, and then we go back to the real world to deal with it in our expert way, with our competence. But Lord Chaitanya is showing you what real competence is. So much he's thinking of Krishna that in his mind, the pastimes of Vrindavan are spontaneously taking place. So through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see the potential, the full potential of pure love. That's the reality. What goes on in Vrindavan, that's the real world. Where Krishna seems to be gone, but Krishna is always present. Match. You'd be a legend eternally. Also, the Yadu dynasty, by that drunken brawler, teaching you never underestimate the degrading power of intoxication. They're giving a lesson to Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, people can't think of living without intoxication. Even in India now, everyone's drinking all the time. Now, just after work. Soon it'll be before work. Right? Those of you from Delhi, Mumbai, you know, everyone's drinking now. Let's go out for drinks. Even young women, let's go out for drinks. So common. Whereas, what, 20 years ago, people consider that not very good, very bad behavior. Now it's socially acceptable. Yes. We can take Prabhupada's mission, is this kind of mission, as our Prabhupada Desh. I mean, sometimes I think about that in my 40-year attempt or more of trying to render devotional service. I've been on every continent, habitable continent of the world, lived in so many different countries, so many different cities. Hungry, because I used to go
say, this is your Prabhudatta day.
So, well. If I go to the USA, the devotees there say, how can you help? You betrayed America. What are you doing over there down under? What can I say? How dare you take up another citizenship? You're American. Land of the free, home of the brave. Or land of the world's most sophisticated surveillance system. So, I just gave up a long time ago trying to figure out, is there any particular place, geographic areas, my Prabhudatta days. Because every time I thought that, it always changed. But at the same time, there are some devotees who do have specific instructions, this place. Doesn't mean that's the only thing they can do. So it's a subject that requires some maturity. Ascertain what is your Prabhudatta desh. And it doesn't mean that if you get no specific instruction about a particular geographic area, it doesn't mean you don't have any, that you lack standing or you lack any firm ground under your feet. Srila Prabhupada left behind a global mission. When he was asked, why didn't Bhaktivinoda Thakur spread bhakti all over the world? Prabhupada replied that Bhaktivinoda Thakur could have done anything, but he kindly left service for us to do. So as for longing for some particularly designated place, that's one requires guidance and maturity to ascertain what that is. And certainly, for a sincere devotee, he or she will receive guidance. What is the best way to focus? It's a sign of love that's maturing, that you seek so much to please the beloved. What is it you really want me to do? Just by our developing that mentality is a great step forward. Rather than, Krishna, don't tell me what to do. I'm afraid. I'll throw flowers at you and I'll offer you prasad, but just keep back. You're known as Hari, he who takes everything away. That's only half the definition of Hari. He takes, and what does he take away? He takes away all the impediments to ecstatic love and gives the ecstatic love. But we're so afraid. Hari. Going to take away my bank account, going to take away my home, going to take away my family. It's all unreasonable. But when it comes to the material energy, we're not afraid. We feel secure, right? But with Krishna, oh, be careful. Better worship some other demigods alone than Krishna just to even out the situation. It is a sign of developing love that you care how to please the beloved. Would you be so pleased if someone was in anxiety? How can I please you? Where should I be in order to please you? Would you be so pleased? Well, Krishna is a person. He's not impersonal. He's not unaware of your desires, how to focus in a way that gives him the most pleasure. So we have to be patient as the love develops through devotional service. And that development of love begins by performing devotional service according to rules and regulations, and then gradually becomes spontaneous. And then what does Krishna promise in Bhagavad Gita? Tesham sisata yuktana bhajatam priti purvagam dadami buddhi yogam tam. For those who have reached the point of serving me with preeti, with affection, and it's constant, I talk to them. I give them customized instructions how to go back to God. So there's the instructions in Bhagavad Gita, which are good enough for you to achieve the supreme destination. And then Krishna furthermore says, in addition to that, I'll give you specialized instructions on top of what I'm saying in Bhagavad Gita. If you develop service to me with love and steadiness. Be patient, be determined, stay in the association of devotees, and all these treasures will become known to you. Anything else? Yes?
In the material world, when Krishna takes things away, we understand that, but with Uddhava, it's a spiritual taking away when Krishna left him here. Is there any more commentary on that?
On what?
Well, Uddhava had to suffer because he was left here without Krishna.
He's not without Krishna. And any so-called suffering is the prema agni, the flames, the fire of love of Krishna. It'll take you a while to understand this. By always thinking of someone who you miss, you're actually with that person on the spiritual platform, not on the material platform. This is actually, for those who know Vrindavan Leela, I don't expect you to understand that, but for those who know, this is why Krishna left the residents of Vrindavan, apparently, to be present with them in an even a more intense way. He told his dearmost devotees, I can't repay you for your service. Even if I had the lifetime of Brahma, 311 trillion years, we can't even conceive of that amount. We can't even conceive of 300 years. So many people, when they're in their 90s, if they live that long, they always say, I never believed I could live this long. And they're just 95. Just try to think in your mind, what is 300 years, 500 years, or even 1,000 years? Your mind can't stretch to that. But Krishna says, 311 trillion years, the lifetime of Brahma, I cannot repay you for your service. And then he leaves them. Materially, that makes no sense at all. But spiritually, it makes complete sense. Krishna wanted to give them an even more intense experience of him through separation. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna coming to taste that unsurpassable exquisiteness of love of Krishna and separation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted the positions and emotions of Srimati Radharani in three instances. Number one, he's tasting what it's like when Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura. Number two, he's tasting what it's like when Uddhava brought the message from Krishna to the gopis. And number three, he's tasting what it's like when the residents of Vrindavan met with Krishna at the solar eclipse, Samanta Panchak, and they expressed, we're not in the right place. We're not in the right setting. Come back to Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sampling those three feelings of separation, bringing Krishna back.